This is the Blue Jay Sock. I'm Mike Wilner. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We'll try to keep half an eye on Twitter. You can hit me up there at Wilderness590. We're taking your calls to the bottom of the hour. And as I mentioned right out of that last break, Moises Sierra goes 3-for-4 tonight with two doubles and a triple. Scores half the Blue Jays' runs in this 5-4 loss. And I got a whole bunch of tweets saying Moises Sierra put himself in a position where it allows the Blue Jays to trade Jose Bautista for pitching next year. It's an interesting question. I don't think so at all, but it appears as though a lot of people out there do. So if you want to talk about that, call me up. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Just under 18,000 people here at Rogers Center, the smallest crowd since the middle of May. Again, the season winding down, although the Blue Jays are playing well now, it doesn't seem to get those fires burning since they're in last place and well out of any sort of race for anything, though we're still a few days away from being mathematically eliminated. We're going to start off with Brendan in Minneapolis, called from the ballpark on the weekend. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
My mom and dad, Mike, are at the ball game tonight, so I just can't get enough of this. I'm having to follow it online tonight.
Well, I should hope you're doing that every night.
Well, you know, as much as possible, absolutely. But certainly not as closely as you do.
No, not too many people do, I have to tell you.
But listen, you know, I'm glad we're on the same page as this one. But, you know, we built this ball club around Bautista. We've got, obviously, a strong Dominican showing there. I mean, Encarnacion being a solid, you know, 3-4 punch, if you will. I know they rotate between 3-4 and 2-3 and but at the end of the day, you know, those are the bats that I truly believe are going to bring the World Series back to Toronto. I think our pitching problems can certainly be resolved. We're seeing a lot of good results recently from Dickey and Burley. I think we can shore up pitching in other ways rather than training, you know, either of the cornerstones of the offense. Sierra just isn't a proven replacement yet. I mean, you know, in, you know, eight years in the minors, he hit 72 home runs. Yeah, he came up and had a flash in 2012, hitting six home runs and 147 at bats. But you know, he's not crushing the ball out of the park now. So it's hard to replace that kind of hitting. And he's hitting, you know, when he came up, he hit 224 in 2012 in the big leagues. So, I just, and even in the minors as a career batting average, it's not, you know, off the chart. So I just don't think he's ready yet.
Well, if he's not ready yet, I mean, he's in his eighth season as a professional. I guess he's still only 24, but he's been around, it feels like, for quite a while, but only 2 years at AAA, so maybe
that's
not
the advantage
so much.
That's the advantage of signing at 16 out of the Dominican, right?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely it is. And that's one of the also one of the reasons why it feels like people have been around for a long time when they're still very young. I agree with you. I don't think, you know, I see the things that Moises Sierra does on the baseball field, and I see still a lot of mistakes, a lot of lack of focus, and a lot of just little things that he does wrong, forgetting how many outs there are, adventuresome base running, those sorts of things. And I you know, I get that he had a great night tonight. He came into this game hitting 255 with a 316 on base. He's got a career 329 on base percentage as a minor league pro. That doesn't spell, hey, replace Jose Bautista to me.
No, absolutely not. I mean, not even close. It's
right.
It's almost not even worth talking about.
Thank
but
you,
hey,
Brendan.
Listen, I'm going to go see Scott Diamond tomorrow. I'll be a good Canadian.
All right, go cheer him on. Represent the GUE. It's a beautiful thing.
Awesome. Hey, always a pleasure.
That's Brendan in Minneapolis. Thank you for the call, Brendan. It is the Blue Jays talk. Phone lines are open. It's September and the Blue Jays are in last place, which means if you're one of those people who tells me you call all the time and you can't get through, now's your chance. This is the right time to do it. And I'm very interested in hearing from people who believe that Moises Seira could take over. And even, you know, to just go further on that debate, there seems to be a sense in some corners of Blue Jays fandom that this team is better off without Jose Bautista. I don't get that, and I would love for someone to call in and tell me why that's true. Like the last caller said, Brendan, Bautista and Encarnacion are the two main cogs in this offense and in what's been a very good offense. And Jose's missed some time, and the offense has struggled without him. And now without both of them, the Blue Jays are having their problems. Barry is in Oshawa listening on the flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Barry, what do you think about the Sierra-Bautista debate?
Oh, I think it's crazy as far as that goes. I mean, Sierra's no. I mean, forget that. I mean, that's Bautista's. He's gone a little bit downhill, but I mean, you're not going to replace him with Sierra. That's for darn sure. I mean, a more pressing problem is By the way, I like your play-by-play call. I want to give you a compliment there.
Oh, thank you.
I like your play-by-play call.
I appreciate that.
But I smell a disaster next year. Unfortunately, I don't like to say it, but
why are you smelling that?
Well, I mean, the whole pitching. I mean, I listened to Jerry Howard this morning on the Jeff Blair show, and I mean, he kind of, you know, like this whole pitching situation is just like, you know, I know we're Anthopoulos says we're going to get pitching or we're going to try to get pitching, but you know, like it's very tough to get pitching, and
yes.
You talk about the tennis night being less than 17,000. Like, I don't know. Like, how is this team going to sell tickets next year? Like, last
I don't know.
Place
that's,
this year.
That's a great question.
Last year.
Well, not last place.
You know, like, we're, well.
well the team that finished in last place last year is going
to
finish in first place this year.
See where the ray of hopes are, if you know what I'm getting at. Like,
oh,
I,
well, but if you can't see the rays of hope, then
Mike, you tell me then. What are we going to have that's going to like to get us ahead of Baltimore, Boston, and the Yankees, and Tampa Bay for that matter? How do you see it?
I would like to wait and see what they do in the off season, but I believe that this. I really do think that if you play this year over 1,000 times. Then the Blue Jays are in a playoff race 90% of the time. That so many crazy things happened this year that couldn't possibly have been expected. I expect R.A. Dickey to be a fine mid-rotation starter next year. I expect the same out of Mark Burley. I expect that Kyle Drabek or Drew Hutchison or both are going to make significant contributions to the starting rotation next season.
I have to disagree with you there. I mean, Drabek has never shown that he's... I mean, I don't...
No, he's never... You're right. He's never shown. He's 25 years old.
Like, here's how I see it. You know, okay. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, these are...
Well, I can't
teams,
correct you on
clubs,
predictions.
If you know what I'm getting at. Like,
these are
Tampa
what?
Bay, Baltimore, Boston. You know, strong...
Look, the Boston Red Sox...
I mean, they've got good young hitters.
Barry, hold on.
Yeah.
You got to stop talking when I talk, and then I'll stop talking when you talk, all right?
Okay.
The Boston Red Sox finished behind the Blue Jays last year.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
And most people were saying this offseason, how are the Boston Red Sox going to pass the Yankees and the Rays and the Orioles and the Blue Jays, who most people were picking to finish at or near the top of the division?
Mm-hmm.
They're all good teams in the American League East.
Right.
They are. But part of the fight for a playoff spot and the fight to be good is starting to play well against everybody else and playing to the way you're supposed to, which the Blue Jays haven't done this year. And if they do next year, they'll be right in there with all those teams. it's not a matter of figuring out what the pieces are to pass those guys, because the pieces that they have, when they're healthy and when they're performing the way they have their entire careers pretty much up to this year, are more than good enough for them to compete with those guys.
Well, like a guy like Josh Johnson, for instance.
Yep.
I mean, are you expecting him? I mean, let's
I'm not expecting him to be
back. With the Jays. And I'm that's not, a big assumption because I don't know.
I'm not expecting Josh Johnson to be back next year.
Pardon?
I'm not expecting Josh Johnson to be back next year.
Okay, you're not expecting him to be back. Okay. Like, okay, so let's call Burley and the knuckleballer maybe 3 and 4.
Maybe 2 and 3.
Well, jeez. I mean, I don't know. We staked the knuckleballer with a 3-0 lead tonight and, you know, couldn't hold it. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think you're really reaching. And then to say talk about Drabek and Hutchison, I don't know. Like, I just don't see it. I mean, what about our catcher? Like, for instance, like JP. And I like JP personally. I mean, I think he's a very nice guy and helps a lot of charities. But to me, he's kind of gone backwards, like, progressively the last. This has kind of been his worst year.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely been his worst year.
I mean, you know, like, we just can't have a catcher. Our starting catcher hitting 202 and striking out. You know what I mean? Like, I just, it's,
yeah,
I don't
disagree with you.
What's that, sorry?
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
But I don't think that that's going to be the case next year.
You don't think it'll be the case?
No.
You think they'll go get some catching help?
Yes.
Well, I hope you're right. I mean, I just think it's the starting pitching. I mean, I don't mind the position players. I mean, like second base, I love the way Goins plays defensively. I'm not sure about his hitting, as you've spoken about. I mean, we're not sure about hitting. Defensively, he's pretty good. But the starting pitching is just like Burley last night. I mean, we'll give him a mulligan because he has pitched well lately. But, you know, when he's in against Boston and the Yankees and Baltimore, it's kind of a different story than pitching against the Minnesota Twins and Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, but Mark Burley has been fantastic since the beginning of May. So I think that's enough of a sample size to show people that he's just fine. I appreciate the call, Barry. I don't want to let you go all night, but I understand why you're skeptical, and you should be skeptical. There should be nobody who says, oh, yeah, I'll just take it on faith that they'll be way better next year. There's no reason to believe that. But you also can't believe that they're going to come back with the same crew and that the people who've had the worst seasons of their career are going to come back and have the worst season of their career again next year. And you know, things really can't get worse, I don't think, than they've been for the most part this season. More of your phone calls coming up. We got a couple of lines still open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. But first, let's listen in on what the skipper had to say. Here's John Gibbons, post-mortem of tonight's 5-4 loss to the Angels.
Did Dickie have trouble warming up tonight? It seemed he was in the bullpen a lot longer than he usually was.
Not that I was told or was aware of. Couldn't tell you. It was a long anthems. They didn't say anything to me, right? So, and I don't know. I don't think so. But
how do you rate his performance?
It was kind of mixed, you know. I thought he was really looked really sharp that first inning, you know. Then it was kind of hit or miss. They were throwing some hits out there off him. You know, we took two leads and we coughed both those up. But you know, I mean, they were starting to lock in on him a little bit. I thought that, for like I said though, that first inning was really good. You know, then they kind of chipped away. So I felt, you know, that was enough when brought Lupe in.
John, I know there may be some times when Sierra does some things that maybe you shake your head, but the guy can play an out hit, can he?
Yeah, he's a talented guy. He really is. What, we had 4 hits tonight. I think he had 3 of them, right? Yeah, it's in there. You know, it's just a matter of coming out. And he's on a nice little roll right now. But he is, as far as talent goes, he's got as much as anybody.
Gibby, is it a problem for your roster that in September that you have to lead off with Kawasaki or bring him up in the eighth? I mean, should you have more players depth-wise coming off the bench in September?
No, I like Kawasaki in that role. You know, I mean, he's proven he's come off the bench a couple times and got some things started there. I mean, just recently against Kansas City, I remember. But that's kind of his thing. You know, I mean, he'll draw a walk and make you throw strikes. No, I've got no problem with that. It's kind of his role right now.
John, after that first inning, Wilson seemed to be able to shut you down. Did you notice a change in philosophy there from him, or what caused that?
No, you know, in that first inning, of course, Sierra hit the ball in the, you know, in the gap, and then, you know, DeRosa almost snuck one through on the left side, and we played that extra run with the error. But other than that, I mean, I thought he looked good all night, really. You know, of course, Rajay walked in the first as well, but he's pretty good. I think, well, I don't know, what is it, 15, 16 wins he has? I mean, there's, you know, there's a reason for that. He knows how to, he can carve you up a little bit. He keeps you, he's got that nice cutter that he runs in the inside on those right-handers, you know. It really kind of neutralizes you in a lot of ways. And then he can go to the outside part of the plate, you know, but it keeps you off balance. And, you know, I mean, he's sneaky. But he's, you know, I mean, they brought him over there for a reason. I mean, he's a pretty good pitcher.
Well, he pitched pretty well tonight, C.J. Wilson, as the Angels beat the Blue Jays 5-4. And as John Gibbons mentioned, yeah, it's 15-16 wins. C.J. Wilson is 16-6 for a team that's 69-76. The Blue Jays fall 5-4. And we are Blue Jays talking it up. And let's go to Jake in Kingston, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Jake.
Good evening, Mr. Weller.
Good evening.
First of all, in the Moises Sierra Jose Bautista debate, I don't even think it's reasonable to call it a debate unless fans just want to completely ignore that Moises Sierra this year, I think, had a 309 on base in AAA and struck out in 25% of his plate appearances. I know he played a nice game tonight, but really? Moises Sierra over Jose Bautista? To me, that's just completely out of whack. But on whether the Jays should trade Jose Bautista, I know it's been a topic of discussion that's come up a lot recently, which is understandable given how the season has gone. I don't think there's any necessity whatsoever to trade Jose Bautista. He has a very good contract. He's an excellent right fielder, hits for great power. But I could see why somebody would make the case that given the way things have gone this year, if there's a player that you may want to look at trading, it would be the soon-to-be 33-year-old Jose Bautista, who has had injuries at the end of the last two seasons, whose power numbers are very, very good, but over the last 2 years, even though he has a higher total of home runs this year, it's in more games, his power numbers have slightly dropped off. So if you have to look at a player to maybe move at perhaps the high point of his value, maybe not the highest point, but at a decent point of his value, I think you could make a case for Jose Bautista being that guy. And I also think that teams that desperately need a power bat may even overpay and somewhat ignore the history of injuries, because if we've learned anything over the last five off seasons, it's that general managers of other teams often make really poor decisions. I mean, look at the money that Ryan Hamilton just got in the offseason. So I could Ryan Hamilton, former Marley. I could see Jose a team giving the Jays a ton in return for Jose Bautista.
Yeah,
if that's
and
the
I
case,
think
trade him, but there's no necessity to trade him right now.
Right. And there's no and trading him doesn't mean that, you know, you're not going to go out and do much better than Moises Sierra to take over in right field.
Of course not.
You know, given it's true what you say, that GMs will overpay and then that they'll make poor decisions in an effort to get the last piece that they think is going to win them a championship. I wonder, though, how many players who miss the last 6 weeks of a season go out and bring back a huge return in trade that winter. I don't know that that has happened very often. I'm happy to be corrected. But that's I don't think this is a peak value time to be trading Jose Bautista.
It may not be, but on the flip side, the question that Mr. Anthopoulos and the Blue Jays have to consider is that Jose Bautista is not a young player. For how much longer could you expect him to maintain a high level of productivity? How long is this asset going to be a middle-of-the-order bat? Maybe it's another 2 years. You never know. Humans are almost impossible to predict. But it's possible that now could be the time that you move him if you don't think that you'll be able to get a full season out of him, or if you think that his best days are behind him, which is within the realm of possibility.
It's within the realm of possibility, but there are no clear indications. I mean, he had 28 home runs and just under three-quarters of a season this year. Still had the on-base around 360 and slugged 500. So, you know, those are the places he ought to be, aside from the big super crazy years. I mean, these are the ones that you're happy with a 36 home run season with an OPS around 870 to 900 out of Jose Bautista. And I don't know that we can say yet that he's in decline, but you're right, he's getting to that age where people start to move into decline. I would again argue that it's absolutely not peak value when you're trading a guy who's missed the last couple of months, basically, of two seasons in a row in an offseason. Now, if you get overwhelmed by an offer, sure. Again, I'll trade anybody if you get overwhelmed by an offer, and it's something that you can't refuse, and it makes your team better. I have no problem with that. I just don't think those offers are going to be coming in pretty hard for Jose Bautista. And again, I still think he can be a really, really, really nice piece of what one hopes will be a much better team next season. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate the call. We are going to wrap things up across the country, but we are going to keep Blue Jays talking it up until 11 o'clock Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on sportsnet590.ca, as well Rogers Digital Cable Channel 904 and your Rogers Radio app. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. Even though I'm going to say goodbye, we're not leaving. And if you're not on hold, get on hold. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays fall 5-4 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, the Blue Jays fall 5-4 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm Mike Wilner. It is the Blue Jays Talk, and we will continue to take your calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, as well as Sportsnet590.ca, your Rogers radio app, and Rogers Digital Cable Channel 904 up until 11 o'clock Eastern. So the phone lines are open. Give us a call. And we will continue to Blue Jays talk it up. On the scoreboard tonight, the Boston Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays are tied 3-3 in the bottom of the eighth inning. The New York Yankees earlier beat the Baltimore Orioles. 5-4 was the score there, which means the Yankees leapfrog over the Orioles into third place in the AL East. And as of right now, are a game and a half back of the Tampa Bay Rays for that second wild card in the American League. If the Rays lose to the Red Sox, it will be just one game. Kansas City beat Cleveland 6-2 earlier tonight, which means the Royals are 2.5 games back of that American League wild card, and the Indians remain 1.5 games back of the Tampa Bay Rays, again, pending the outcome of the Tampa-Boston game, which is now 3-3 in the bottom of the eighth. The Texas Rangers lost 7-5 to the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Oakland A's are going to beat Minnesota. They're up 16-1 in the fifth, which means Oakland's going to be three games up on Texas in the AL West. This series ends tomorrow night. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. It'll be J-Hap for the Blue Jays, Garrett Richards for the Angels, who are looking for the sweep. You've been listening to Home Hardware, Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Gord Brunt, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.
The official sound of the cottage. This is Toronto Blue Jays Baseball. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Pitch lined up the gap into right center field. He's done it again. That's a base hit. That ball's going to go all the way to the fence. Moises digging for second. Moises on his way to third. Here's the relay. Moises slides. He's got a triple. The ball gets away from the third base and rolls into the dugout. Moises scores. Blue Jays 4, Angels 3 on one swing of the bat.
A Little League home run by Moises Sierra, his first triple of the season. And that was the last run the Blue Jays would score. That came in the fourth inning. And in fact, they only got one more hit. And it was a Moises Sierra double in the sixth. He stole third. And again, Sierra, there are just some things about his game. Moises trying for third there on that triple in the fourth inning with nobody out. And it was a close play at third base. He may well have been out if Andrew Romine had been able to hold on to that throw from Eric Ibar. Then in the sixth inning, he doubles, and with two outs, steals third. Curious plays by Moises Sierra, but it worked out well for him tonight. Not so much for the Blue Jays. They fall 5-4 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking you right up to the top of the hour, 11 p.m. Eastern, when Jeff Sammet will take over with Sportsnet tonight here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And we are taking your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We go to Dan in Toronto. Dan, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right. Thank you.
Good. I'll talk about Jose Bautista and what else, and what I think about this. The problem that I had with this team coming out of spring training, when I looked up and down this roster, I saw no playoff experience. I saw no pennant race experience, short of Darren Oliver, Mark Burley, and maybe one other guy.
That Mark DeRosa
and,
guy's been in the playoffs
almost
every year.
And Mark DeRosa, but really, like the heart of this team,
the
cornerstones of this team, really had no real playoff experience.
Jose Reyes.
Well, not really. But
some of it doesn't count?
Well, I mean, when was the last time he was in a pennant race?
Well, wait a minute now. Are you talking about playoff experience? Or are you talking about does it have to be within the last 3 years?
No, I'm talking about proven guys who are winners, guys who know how to, like, when the chips are down.
Did Mark Burley know how to win in 2005?
Hold on. So I said Burley. I said DeRosa.
No, I know, but I'm asking you, did he know how to win in 2005 when...
Absolutely.
No, he didn't. He was not a proven winner. He had no playoff experience. It was, you don't get it till you get it sometimes.
Okay, so what I want to say about Jose Bautista is the problem that I have, and look, he's a great player. He's a fantastic talent. The problem that I have with him is that I don't see him as a leader. I don't see him as a winner. When the chips are down, he's the guy who's arguing with umps and getting thrown out. He's the guy who's not doing the little things to pick up the team. And I'm not saying that he's not a great player. He is a fantastic talent.
But don't like the fact that he argues with umpires.
No, I just don't like the fact that he puts his team, there's too many times he puts his team at a disadvantage by the little things.
Arguing with umpires. What else does he do badly? What else does he do that's to the detriment of the team, if it even is? Then argue about balls and strikes. What else?
Getting thrown out of games is not is
arguing
not
balls
the way
and strikes. What else does he do besides arguing balls?
He's been thrown out
of two games, I think, both about for the same reason that you're talking about, that you have a problem with him. There's one thing that he does that you don't like,
and it's a pretty big thing. If you're supposed to be the leader of this team, you're supposed to set an example. You're not supposed to be the guy who's getting chucked. You're not supposed to be the hothead on the team. You're supposed to be the leader of the team. I just don't see. I see him as a great player. I don't see him as a leader.
Well, why does he have to be a leader of the team?
Because there's no one else who's leading this team, and he's your big guy.
First of all, Edwin Encarnacion has had better years than Jose the last 2 years. There's Jose Reyes, who's an exceptional player as well. I don't quite understand this whole, quote unquote leader thing. I think that's more of a hockey football sort of concept.
You think?
I do. I don't think it matters that much in baseball, and I think it's honestly, I think in any sport, it's overstated, and stories are created about it, whether it exists or not, when a team wins. And stories are created about the lack of it, whether there is a lack of it or not, when a team loses.
I know. I think about a guy like Pedroia,
uh-huh,
or a guy like Jeter, who are just guys play for him. Like, they play for those guys.
No, they don't.
They don't.
You think they do, because people who can't get enough of telling you what a great leader Derek Jeter is spend all their time telling you what a great leader Derek Jeter is. That's why you think that happens. Guys play well because they're good players. And there's I think there must be a minor motivational aspect to certain things. But I think that it's always, you know, you're going to find the people to hang that on. Regardless, you know, as long as they're around, you're going to find it. And again, people will create it if there's nothing apparent, just by picking the best player on the team, on a great team, and talking about what a wonderful leader he is, when it's often the exact opposite of the truth.
I will agree to disagree with you on this leadership thing. But anyways, thank you so much for taking my phone call.
I appreciate your call. I think, honestly, none of us can know what goes on behind those closed doors. I'm only allowed in that clubhouse for like an hour before every game. And when the Blue Jays come off the field at 5:20, when their batting practice is over for home games, that door shuts, and from 5:20 until the game starts, nobody has any interaction with these guys except them. And nobody knows what's going on. Who's leading? Who's sitting at his locker with the headphones on, playing on his iPad? Who's ignoring everybody? Who's a prima donna? Who's the wonderful guy who's going over and talking to people? And you know, we can't know that stuff. And a lot of times, people make it up, because sports needs heroes. Championship teams need leaders. And often it doesn't matter what they do, because often people don't know what they do, but they're built up. And again, you know, I point to the Mark Burley thing. Mark Burley is a wonderful guy for all intents and purposes, for everything I've seen about him, everything I know about him, all the interactions that I've gotten to see with him. One of the true class acts of the game. And teammates and coaches and opponents and all these people will talk about that. Mark Burley was brought up by that caller as a proven winner. Before the Chicago White Sox won the World Series in 2005, Mark Burley had one-third of an inning pitched in the playoffs in his career. He then made three starts in the playoffs for the team that won the World Series, was terrific in those playoffs. But he wasn't a proven winner, whatever that means. It was his first kick at the can. Just like for a lot of the guys, when they get there, it's going to be their first kick. And after, oh my God. I mean, John Elway, Peyton Manning. Think about how they're talked about now and how they were talked about before they won a Super Bowl. It's an amazing thing, narrative. And it can really skew the thinking of a lot of people. One more segment of Blue Jays Talk coming up after this 20 update. Blue Jays fall 5-4 to the Angels. It's Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Little ground ball up the middle. Backhanded at second by Goins. Flip a throw to first. Got him with another just plain beautiful play. Ryan Goins, you can play second base, young man.
Tremendous play by Ryan Goins on J.B. Shuck to end the top of the seventh inning. And I have to tell you, I didn't think anybody was going to throw out J.B. Shuck. Not that he's the fastest guy in the world, but he's plenty fast enough. On that little weak grounder up the middle that Goins had to go hard to his right, throw off his back foot, that's a tremendous play. And Ryan Goins has been spectacular defensively for the Blue Jays at second base ever since they called him up. Wasn't enough tonight. He goes 0-for-4 at the plate. The rest of his teammates combined for, well, the rest of his teammates not named Moises Sierra combined for just one infield single. and the Blue Jays lose it 5-4 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm Mike Wilner. One more segment of the Blue Jays talk before we hand things over to Jeff Sammet on Sportsnet tonight. Let's go out to Rob in Peterborough. Rob, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Mike. Before I get to Moises here, I just wanted to touch on that last guy talking about leaders and such. And I think you're right. I think a lot of people put too much stock into that. Now, I kind of wonder if, you know, some of the guys that are around are just good mentors, and maybe that's even sort of better than being a leader, because I see, you know, that Brett Laurie, who's a, you know, he's a big hope for me as far as, you know, going forward with the Jays. I think he will be a star. And this year he went from, you know, sort of being a hothead rookie to, you know, now towards the end of the season, acting like a veteran pretty much. And I believe a lot of that is to do with Mark DeRosa.
I'm sure some of it does, and I'm sure some of it has to do with Brett growing up and you know, getting a little bit older and all that stuff. But certainly, you know, tales have been told of veteran example and mentorship and all that sort of stuff. And I think guys can have an effect on guys that way, teaching them. And DeRosa talks about Chipper Jones and the effect he had on him and teaching him to watch video and what to look for and those sorts of things. I think that stuff can matter. I think the whole leadership thing it can matter too, but it's very far overstated. But you wanted to talk about Sierra.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of necessarily putting Sierra in for Bautista. I agree with a lot of people that, you know, maybe Bautista is a tradable piece, but only if you get the right offer. Like, you know, I would, you know, if somebody's going to offer you a front of the rotation pitcher as a straight up trade for Bautista, then yeah, maybe you think about it. But I wouldn't be given, you know, Bautista and a prospect or anything like that. I don't by any means think that Bautista needs to go, but, uh-huh, you know, if somebody bends your ear, what I would like to see is, do you think Cabrera is a tradable asset in any way?
No.
Even for a serviceable catcher, nope, or something like that?
Nope.
That would be nice, but I mean, I would be happy to see Sierra go in for Cabrera if we could dump his contract some way. But yeah, I don't see, you know, Sierra still makes mistakes, and I sort of wanted Rajay Davis to be an everyday left fielder, but you know, I've seen a lot of stuff, and including that the pop-up that he hit there this week, that he didn't run it out and could have been on second. I mean, that just, to me, that was the thing. That was it. You know, that's why he's not an everyday player, right?
So. Well, no, he's not an everyday player because he can't hit right-handed pitching more than,
yeah, well,
more than that sort of thing. You know, the 220 average against righties doesn't help when you're trying to become an everyday player. But, no, I'm actually looking forward to seeing what Melky Cabrera can do healthy. But there's no way that the Blue Jays can get anything for him in trade.
Yeah.
They would have to, you know, in order to get rid of him, they'd have to give somebody $7 of the $8 million he's going to make and take nothing back, basically.
I didn't follow him early in his career. Like, is he a serviceable outfielder, you know?
He has been for the entirety. Well, he's only 28. I mean, he was running around like a 50-year-old this year, but we know now that that's because of that tumor in his spinal column was really taking his legs out from underneath him. But he was a serviceable center fielder and a very good corner outfielder, and you know, he hit very well the last couple of seasons before this year, and although he did have some enhancement, so it'll be interesting to see clean and healthy, assuming he'll be both in the spring, what he's capable of doing. Thank you,
yeah.
Rob. I'm going to go out to Halifax now. Robin is listening on News 95.7. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Good day. Or evening.
Evening.
Hello.
Well, it's like almost midnight out there.
Yeah, darn close. A little bit cloudy, but I'm sitting on my deck. I enjoy listening to the games.
Very nice.
I hear people calling up. They want to do this and do that. I think, if it wasn't, you know, you get your first 3 months, the pitching was terrible.
Yep.
But they had good pitching, they'd be in a different position right now.
Absolutely.
And
defense, too, though. That factors into the pitching, doesn't it?
I think it factors a lot.
Yeah.
And people want to say Trey Bautista and the last caller, Cabrera, but I believe Cabrera, Rasmus, Bautista, what you got for the infield, well, I like Goins. For second.
Nothing not to like about the way he plays second
base. Not the way he plays. And catching, I don't know. And maybe getting an extra pitcher, but I wouldn't change too much as they are now.
Yeah, I don't think you need to do a massive overhaul either. But I do think there are things that need to improve dramatically.
No, and I just feel that anybody that thinks that April, May, June aren't important, well, the Jays just proved how important it is.
Yeah, but they were two games out of the playoffs at the end of June.
Yeah.
I mean, if they had had a better April,
they put a lot of wear and tear on the bullpen.
Yes, they did.
And to me, and I believe Burley and Dickey have adjusted to where they are, and they'll fit in just fine. And the rest, if they can pick up a pitcher, it'll be good. And I feel I think next year they'll be all right.
I'm interested to see what they do to help get them all right, but I think the same thing, Robin. I don't think things can go as badly wrong next year as they did this year.
No. And like you said about Cabrera, and they just found out he had that tumor in his back. And if he comes back healthy next year, I think they'll be fine. And I take good defense, and a lot of people have talked about batting averages and this and that. If you get the pitching and good defense, batting average will fix itself.
Yeah, not for the people who watched the Blue Jays in like 2007 and 2008. Those were kind of frustrating. Great pitching and defense, no hitting years, and they didn't even get a sniff of the playoffs.
If you get the three meshing together.
Oh, well, then look out.
And
you're off to the races, sir.
You're off to the races.
You betcha. Thank you, Robin. Appreciate the call. If you get all three of those things together, you cannot be stopped. Bernie is in Thornhill. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk, Bernie. Bernie's gone. Oh, no. Eric is in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Eric, you got to be at least as good as Bernie. No, Eric's got no
sound.
Oh, there you are. All right.
Yeah, sorry, the mountains out here.
I know. It's terrible.
All right. So whoever would think that trading Bautista, and putting Sierra in there, that's just ludicrous. I mean, how can we replace Bautista in right field? The guy, who else in the league can throw strikes consistently from right field to third base to home plate, wherever he wants to, any time of the day? Like, the guy makes phenomenal plays all the time. And look at his hitting. No one has made him the leader of the team. No one on the team expects him to be the leader. I mean, I've been listening to these people say what he should be or his attitude. Yeah, maybe he argues a bit, but whatever. Who doesn't?
Lots of people don't relative to how much he does.
Like, we gotta stick with what we got. Obviously, the pitching right now, obviously, that's been the backbreaker of the season. And nobody really knows why season has fallen apart, but we both know, or I guess most people know, that like if we were in a wild card race, Bautista would be in the lineup right now. Edwin would be playing. Moro would be back.
No, he wouldn't. Like, Bautista and Edwin. No, Bautista and Edwin would be playing. Moro can't.
Okay, all right. Well, like, who else would be playing? There would be
But you know what? Bautista would be playing. Edwin would be playing. Rasmus would be playing. Would they be producing at a high level? Probably not, because they're hurt. But they would be in the lineup doing their best to help the team out. Absolutely.
But if you look at our outfield we have now, that's probably the best looking outfield we've had since I started watching baseball again.
What, you mean Cabrera, Rasmus, Bautista? Or you mean like Davis, Ghost, and Sierra?
No, I'm talking about Cabrera, Rasmus, Bautista with Rajay Davis in there as their fourth outfielder.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's amazing. McRasmus, his on-base percentage was pretty great.
I don't think it was great. That was around, 330, 340? Let's see.
All right, so it's decent.
335, so it's just above average.
So it's decent.
Decent,
above average.
Yes.
All right, and I mean, he was producing, he was making big plays, and he was coming up with clutch hits.
Yep.
It seemed like everything this year was starting to click, and then for some reason, you know, right in that Tampa Bay series there in June when we ended the 11-game streak there, you know, it's like all hope was lost because our streak ended. Like, I don't know what it was, but, you know, the season obviously is a failure, but like you were talking about with the last caller, an overhaul definitely not needed. Like, this year, I think is definitely they can build off of it and learn a lot. You know, it could be good for them to see, look, holy crap, we were projected to win the World Series, and look what happened. Like, the Angels, they have a much better lineup than we do. And, you know, they're not just going to go trade Pujols and trade Hamilton and Trumbo and Trout, you know, just because they suck right now. Like, they're committed. They got a plan, and they're going to stick with it. And why should we abandon it?
I think that, you know, and I appreciate the call, Eric. I think there are people who are quick to say, well, burn it all up immediately as soon as anything goes wrong. But I would hope that there aren't a lot of rational Blue Jays observers and fans out there who think that blowing this thing up is the right thing to do. This team is not that far away. I didn't think so last year, and I don't think so this year. Thank you for the call. Blue Jays lose it 5-4 to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Justin in Toronto. Justin, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Mike. I almost got lost what your last caller was saying. I mean, he was just going on and on about nothing. In terms of the team this year, I agree with you 100%. Everybody is so quick to bail on the players that we always have. Every single Toronto sports team. Oh, the team's doing bad. Trade your best player.
Yep.
It's like, be careful what you wish for, because Batista, he hit 50 home runs 2 years in a row, close to it, right? All of a sudden, there's someone else better than him because he's injured. Or he's not playing up to, you know, to par. It makes no sense. Give the guy a year. Hopefully everyone can come back. And if anyone was listening to the fan last night, I listened to Anthopoulos on the radio. He said it best. Our pitching was not where it was supposed to be. Our defense was not getting used to the field because of all these players we brought in. And I truly believe the Blue Jays are going to do 10 times better next year by doing nothing in the offseason and letting these guys realize this is the team, let's stick to it, regardless of bringing anybody in. I have a question for you regarding Josh Johnson.
Sure.
And the truth. And you may have answered this before. Do you a contract?
You gotta ask again, because you got cut off there. I didn't hear
my
the question.
My apologies. I was asking about Josh Johnson, and if you feel like he should even be worth offering a contract or just let him go.
No, of course you offer him a contract. You don't qualify him. You don't offer him $14 million because you don't need to protect yourself against draft pick compensation. No one's going to touch him if you make that qualifying offer, because he's just not going to get a deal like that. So he'll take it, and he'll put $14 million in his pocket and be really, really happy about it. But I think that Josh Johnson is going to wind up somewhere on a cheapish sort of deal, somewhere between $5 and $7 million for 1 year, and sure, you make him that offer. Why not? See if he can bounce back. See if he feels like he owes you something after this year he's had, because he'll get better offers from other teams. He'll get teams to offer incentives and things like that, like the Blue Jays won't do. But sure, on a cheap one-year deal, absolutely worth taking a look. Thanks to all the calls. We'll do this again tomorrow night. Blue Jays lose it to the Angels. Have a great night.